Nature Broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
What is America to me? A house I live in, a plot of earth, a street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races and religions, that's America. City or a garden all in bloom, the church, the school, the clubhouse, the million lights I see, but especially the people.
And we're back. This is your Greenwich House, Jonathan Wilcox, Gideon Fountain. You're listening to WGCH. But this is your Greenwich House, at least for the time being, that's the name of it.
We're going to come up with a really good name for this show. You just watch.
All right, the phone number if you want to call in, 203-661-5051.
Wait, what was that number again?
661-5051, so lest you forgot you're in Connecticut.
And they should call to complain about the show. That's what we actually want to hear. We want to hear complaints.
That'll be honest anyway.
Yeah, just be honest.
Or if you think perhaps you know more about real estate than we do, that's fine.
I love that.
We will accept that possibility.
And that's Bob Small.
I got an email already this morning from someone who knows more about the engineering here than I do, and is going to tell me how I need to adjust things.
I see.
Love that. I mean, you must love that kind of thing, too.
That's ridiculous. Was that on the air or off
air? No, that was off the air.
It was off the air.
All real estate agents are used to that, Bob. Every single real estate agent, no matter how long you've been in the business, will be told how the business works by some of your clients.
And there's only one business that probably gets that even more. That's doctors.
Oh, my gosh, yes. You know, I was naive enough to think that, well, gosh, they wouldn't question a doctor's opinion. Why can't they trust real estate agents? Well, it turns out, of course, the first thing that people do when a doctor gives them an opinion is, I'm going to get a second opinion.
You're ugly, too.
That can't be right. You want a second opinion? All right, I'll give you one.
That's right. So we had things are still pretty solid, but they're a little bit down.
But
sold 22, 19 in Greenwich.
I just want to say, to the people asking, like, for instance, this question came up from a would-be client. Should we put our house on now or wait for the spring market? I said, after a discussion with a bunch of brokers on this subject, they all said, oh, my gosh, now. It is still hot. The market, the desire for Greenwich, the need for Greenwich real estate is still zooming along. And it is now, what, mid-October? It's October 14th. Is it October 14th?
15th? A week 14th. Ago.
But we don't know what's going to happen after the election.
That's right.
But how far after the election either is part of the issue.
It's just like de Blasio. If it's President Biden, yes, the country will go to hell, but it's going to take a while. So you don't have to, oh my God, we have to sell and leave for buy in New Zealand tomorrow. You'll have about 2 years to get going.
Get your affairs in order.
Yeah.
After that,
open borders, the suburbs will be destroyed by destruction and elimination of all zoning. I know. Oh, they'll never do that. Yes, they will. No zoning. Let's see. No zoning, open borders, and what else is in store for us? Well, obviously a
depression.
Supreme Court with 13 or 14 members. And I would think a depression. Well, I mean, there will be massive taxes and a destruction of the traditional energy business. Oh, no, they'll never do it. Yes, they will. They will. But we'll have green energy jobs. Remember all those green energy jobs during Obama's 8 years? Remember them all?
That's what Al Gore was saying. We can rebuild the economy.
I know. It's
with all the new stuff.
Because central control works so well in all the countries where it's been tried, where you have a little group of elite leaders telling the rest of the country how to run its business. That's worked out so well. I mean, it's worked in the Soviet Union. It's worked in China. You might say, oh, come on, China's successful. No, China is actually in many ways an absolute hideous disaster. It's a brutal dictatorship. And if you're on the wrong side of the Politburo, you're in trouble. If you're a, what is it, a Uyghur? Are they the Muslim
yep.
Chinese? Those guys
Uyghur,
are
yep.
thrown into concentration camps. There's a lot to not like about China. And you don't want that country being the dominant, certainly don't want them to be the dominant player in the world.
Now, having said that, the closed listings last
yes,
week.
Yes, Greenwich Real Estate.
I'm not real estate. wake me up. Wake me up. Closed last week, 37 in Greenwich, 19 this week.
Did I see 19 closings this week?
Yeah, of Greenwich
condos. What do you mean by this week? The week since the
yeah,
show?
Yeah,
the last
seven,
show.
Last okay. show. So we do. We're doing these seven-day increments. That is showing a trend that COVID is slowing down. The whole buying trend.
The fear of COVID?
Yeah, and it'll be less next week.
Well, how about this? I agree with that, but I also agree with this, or at least I theorize this is the situation, that people who could move out of New York City, we're running out of those types who can, because the others are trapped by an unsellable co-op or condo.
Or
right?
a bad lease.
They paid, or a bad lease, exactly.
Stuck
good
in a lease.
Point. Pay $3 million for your co-op on East 67th Street, and the realtor in New York says, "Yeah, sorry, I think the best we can get is two." Well, most people are going to stick it out, despite the crime and the hideous destruction of the quality of life in New York City. They're going to stick it out and hope for something better, and they cannot make the move to Greenwich or Scarsdale or Putnam County in New York, whatever. So they're stuck. So we are probably running out of people, but it hasn't happened yet, and I'll tell you how I know. Because what you have is, wait, oh, here's a scam call from Essa, Ontario, Canada. Interesting.
It's a mail order bride.
I know. I ordered one. How do you like
that?
It's funny. Now they're calling in. I have to ignore it. So, you know, here's an old trick, you guys. If you're a realtor, there are two ways to get new business, and one is to pester people. You go through the expired listings, and you, especially on the day of expiration, you quickly race to call. This happens to me.
Oh, they
all the
do
time.
It well before. Are you kidding?
Oh, they shouldn't.
Remember
they
that
shouldn't.
Thing I had off Sandwich?
Yeah,
the guy
yeah.
goes, I'm getting deluged with calls.
Just before, yeah.
Well, 14
which is totally
days, 21 days before
unethical.
The end of the listing.
That is so unethical and can be punished by the Board O Realtors. So, all right, so you guys get the idea, right? Your listing expires. Typically, in my case, my clients intend to renew it. I don't think I've very rarely in 34 years had one expire and then lost it to somebody else. However, each time this happens, and sometimes we do it deliberately to make it to bring the listing out in a couple of days or a couple of weeks as a new listing, each time it expires, my client gets a call or an email. These people are incredible how quickly they can discover somebody's email address. I mean, think about it. That's not that easy, right?
No, it isn't.
But they look up. I'll tell you what they do. They look at the owners, and they typically find out where they work, especially if they've got a middle initial and the name is even slightly unique. So then they pester my clients, and my clients say, hey, you know, five brokers just called me, asked me if I wanted to list with them. Or typically another even sleazier line is they'll say, they have somebody. They have a buyer. They just want to bring this one buyer
in. Oh, that's
in.
That's the old trick.
Don't fall for that. Oh, my gosh. That's the
fellow real estate
trick
brokers.
In real estate. They don't have – they'll bring somebody. I promise you they'll bring – it's probably their Aunt Matilda.
Yeah.
And what it really is, it's what they want is an opening. They want to get your listing, which is, you know, fine. I don't begrudge them that. But don't come in on false pretenses. If they're going to lie to you about that, what else are they going to lie to you about? If they start off with a lie, all right, that's not somebody you want to work with.
I have somebody for you. So say you bring a couple of people through and you make a phony offer.
Oh, man.
And then you say, and then, you know, it's out there. You go back and forth and you go, nope, something's happened to them.
No, they disappeared.
Oh, someone came down with a disease.
Yeah.
They're going to have to back off for a while, but they'll be around. They'll be back.
But why don't you give me the listing while we, you know, while we wait for them?
Do you see how much action I brought you with nothing?
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if you give me an exclusive right to sell. Think of the magic.
So that's the sleazy side of real estate. But I'll give you the positive side of real estate because it's happening a lot right now. Other brokers, very, very diligent, hardworking, smart brokers, scour the expired listings from last year. You say, why would they bother doing that? Here's what they do. They call up that listing broker, the listing broker whose listing expired, mm-hmm. who it didn't sell, probably because it was overpriced, and they say, rather than pester the seller, they go back to the broker, making the assumption that the broker still has a good relationship with the seller.
Yeah.
They go back to that broker and they say, hey, can I show your listing that you had on last year?
Yeah.
And this, you can tell we're running out of inventory because this is happening a lot. I think Rob Johnson at Halstead just did it with Julie Church at Houlihan, and I'm getting one. I mean, I'm getting one, but I've noticed this about one a week because they end up as what we call reporting purposes only sales.
Yep.
Reporting purposes only, which means we brokers, we look through the list of sells and we say, oh, look at that. Well, I don't remember that one being listed. And it turns out it wasn't. It sold non-MLS, even though really two brokers are involved.
And commissions were paid.
But you don't actually get credit on the Greenwich MLS. You don't get credit for that sale. And people like to see if they sold $20 million this year or $90 million this year. It doesn't add to your sales numbers, which is a bit discouraging for some brokers. But anyway, fact is you get paid, and it comes out as a reporting purposes only because, in fairness, no other broker had a chance at it. Therefore, it can't be considered a regular listing.
Yeah, sure. But I'll take the check. Give me the check.
But a broker called me a couple of days ago. Yeah, I'll definitely take the check. Somehow that takes the sting off of it, doesn't it?
Yes.
A broker called me a few days ago and said, can I show that listing of yours that expired, 9, 10, 11 months ago? And I said, sure. And now it is resulting in a deal.
Hmm.
So that broker, very, very smart. Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, the audience was so quiet. And then finally they wake up for that. All right. Well, thank you, you guys. Next time, be a little more early. Yeah, now take it. All right. God, they're such a sensitive group comes in here. I don't know. Why do we have all these? Why do we have to have a live audience? All right, calm down, everybody. Take it easy. Anyway, so the broker very cleverly, these brokers scour the expired listings from a year earlier or whatever, and they call up that broker and say, hey, can I show it? And sometimes you're going to get, no, forget it. They change their plans, or no, they're not ready to show. You get rejections for sure. But usually, if they wanted to sell the year before, they still want to sell. And they may also be more flexible in their price.
Of course they will. But anyway, so 19 sales and 18 pendings, 28
new. I had 47
listings.
Pendings. Those were all rentals? Come on.
Well, look, 10 of them are out of town.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and so you get rid of the rentals. The rentals don't count.
I know.
Not in my book. New listings, 28. That is opposed
That's
to...
That's low. 28 listings new is low.
45
exactly.
Last week.
I knew it.
45, so there you go.
Jeez.
But the big sale
it's like
was
somebody flipped a switch.
yeah, over- it did. The faucet has been getting turned off, shall we say? But that's very typical, isn't that? Wouldn't you say, Wilcox, this time of year?
Well, yes.
I mean, it's got to slow down at some point.
It starts slowing down by Thanksgiving.
Yeah, or before.
Even before it should.
But can you put your house on the market right now at a good price and get a deal? Yes, right now, absolutely, right now.
Two Sheldrake Roads sold for $2,130,000 in 59 days.
And Sheldrake is kind of in the shadow of Greenwich Hospital, or is it over there off Mallard?
Yeah.
It is. Sheldrake's off
Lower Lake.
Off of
Skylark.
Skylark, yeah, there we go.
And all that. And is a Sheldrake a Mallard, type of Mallard, or is that just a Drake?
I don't know. A Sheldrake.
Yeah, I think it's just a Drake.
Yeah. I think it's just a Drake.
Yeah,
so So I suppose a mallard with a clam in its mouth is a sheldrake. Something like that.
No, that's a drake shell.
That's a big shell. Okay.
Yes, a sheldrake is another name for a shell duck. Middle English.
Oh.
Middle English.
Son of a
variation
gun.
Of, let's see, drake. Yeah, it's a variation of drake or shell duck. Or merganser. Merganser as well.
A merganser.
So, yes, sheldrake.
We're getting into all types of
a duck.
Son of a gun.
I know.
All
I
kinds
like
of,
that.
I think,
American
mallards.
Heritage Dictionary. Brought to you by...
Thank you for dropping by.
It was paid an exorbitant fee.
So Sheldrake Road, you'll find this interesting. That's $665 a foot.
What is? Which?
Sheldrake, this number two Sheldrake,
yeah.
Sold very quickly, taking advantage of this COVID market, and 324 Overlook Drive, asking $2,195, selling for $2,115 in 95 days. That's Kevin Snedden of Compass. He's been active in Greenwich and Stanford and New Canaan for some
time. Kevin, like
I think
a lot
you know
of
him.
Us, is having a very good year.
Yeah. And started in New Canaan, and he's branching out down here. He's also in the Hamptons. Anyway, that 324 overlook is $680 a foot. And that's a pretty good number for older but renovated construction in Millbrook.
Yes, that's older but renovated. And yeah. How much per foot?
680.
Okay, yep. Again, I'm sure the listeners are on my
They're
side of this one.
They're just on pins and needles.
Well, they couldn't care less about per square foot. But I do get this, you guys. And this is to your credit, Wilcox, or to your on your side of the credit ledger. I have customers who mistakenly, in my opinion, mistakenly use square footage prices to justify a foolish asking price. They'll say, now, wait a minute. We should be getting such and such, 680 a foot, because these four comparables got that too. And it sounds reasonable on paper, and I know that the analytical type, and there are a lot of those in Greenwich, the analytical type of client falls for that argument, but it just doesn't wash because the square footage number doesn't tell you how close the houses are around your house, how busy your street is, ugly your house is.
There's a number of factors. If you start going far afield, you know, because you couldn't find any comps in the last, 12 months.
Well, if you notice,
so you're going R12 over in Glenville, and you got something on Stanwich. You're going to be way off. So you do have to use some reason.
Yeah.
Thank God we have enough sales around here so that you can come up with numbers that are pretty reasonable.
We have comparable. If you're an agent and you can't find five, and then really that's plenty. But I mean, even let alone 10 good comparables for your listing that you're trying to price, then you're not doing a good enough job because there are so many comparables, usually literally right next door or right across the street. There's so many sales to work with, and that is very helpful. That's the lubrication of the sales market. It's comparables, because we can't talk somebody into upping their offer if we can't show them, look what this guy paid. How about this guy? What? And then you show them, okay, that guy, that's over three. Now, why are you at 2.8? That one's over three. Does that look like a better house? You know, these are our arguments. And it's not easy dragging. That's why selling brokers earn that commission, because they drag their buyer kicking and screaming up to the price that will make the seller happy. Vice versa. Listing broker typically has a job of dragging the seller's expectations down a little bit, not by trickery, but by just being realistic and saying, look, this is a very, very good offer. That old phrase that I love is, if you're getting almost everything you want, take it. If you're getting almost everything you want, take it.
Take it and run. A bird in the hand.
Don't hold out for the last little bit.
A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. That's typically the case. Your first offer is usually your best offer. There would be followed sometimes by another offer that's a little less. They don't take that. And so in some cases, as I had the experience, they said, well, we're not even going to negotiate with them.
Yes, a classic
And then
one.
They came up with their highest and best, and the guys wouldn't take it. The people took what the highest offer they had, but they did it 4.5, 5 months later, and that deal fell through. Mm. But
but what a classic.
Course, I was the goat.
Yeah,
I was wearing the goat horns.
I remember, yeah, my clients turned down, this was years ago, they turned down a really fantastic offer. And then months and months later, we had a lower offer for them to consider. And then the listing expired. And then I had to pitch the listing again because, quote, there's a bunch of heirs. And as the lead heir said to me, get in, you've got a target on your back from the rest of the family. You have a target on your back. I said, oh, yes, a target, because I brought you, in this case, like $5 million, which you turned down, and now we're looking at $4.3 million. You turn down five. Now we have 4.3, and I have a target on my back for malfeasance and bad brokering.
Look at what you did, Fountain.
You know, you cannot. Ooh. It does you no good to scream and yell. Although I know one particular broker made a huge career out of crying. She was a very, very effective crier, and people would just give her the, oh God, all right, take the listing, do it. All right, we'll sell to that guy. But I don't.
That's a good tactic. Just start crying. They'll go, here, sign.
Go, go, just go away from me.
Get out of here.
If you have self-respect, I think that technique is off.
Falls on the floor.
Should not be in your playbook. Yeah.
A weeping huddle. Huddling mass on the floor.
If somebody's offering five for a house, and that's a very, very good offer, and my clients won't take it, I'm not going to go to the mat. I'm not going to tell them, don't be fool. I'm not going to swear at them. I'm not going to threaten them. And I'm not going to say, you'll never see this number again. I'll just you know, all I can do is say, hey, this, based on comparables, this is a very good offer. You want to seriously consider it. I know it's not what you wanted to get, because typically, not always, but typically those first few offers are the highest you will ever see. Now, are we in the COVID surging market? Is that true today? Possibly not. Possibly the market is still climbing. I think it is.
Well, if you're going to sell right now, I suggest you get it on the market.
Hurry up now. Yeah, in the next 30 days.
Because this is going to die out.
It has to.
At some point. Do you know that Manhattan, sorry, the whole city, they got a 20% unemployment rate.
Well, yeah.
It's 20 plus percent unemployment.
It's depression.
Depression era 25%.
The Wall Street Journal
1938.
Wall Street Journal had this little video for the Wall Street Journal, by the way, reminds me now of what the New York Times was about 25 years ago. It's very liberal, except for the editorials. It's very, very liberal and very much pro government. Any argument in favor of bigger or growing government, the Wall Street Journal, believe it or not, despite its name, and this is the way that the younger reporters they've been trained at journalism school. So I watched a little video yesterday or day before from the Wall Street Journal, about 4 minutes long, and they explained why the stock market is ignoring the general economy. And it was all about the gist of the whole video was that the rich are getting richer and income inequality is getting worse. And look at all these stores and restaurants going out of business. Not one mention in that entire video about what was causing that. Could it be lockdowns?
Lockdowns?
Could it be COVID?
Hmm.
No mention of it. All there was just this just a horror and outrage at a declining economy, as if it was some sort of mysterious.
Oh, it's going to be the rich. Oh, it's going to be the rich.
It's Trump. It must be Trump. His name was not mentioned, but clearly something he's doing. What could it be? Could it be that all the blue states are all fully locked down in New York City leading the way? By the way, New York City, with all of its lockdown, with all of its mask mandates, has these little pockets, little surges. I know they're blaming it on the Hasidic Jews. The Cuomo likes to blame the Hasidic Jews, but it's not just those neighborhoods. So there's another CDC study out, a small one. I think there's only about several hundred participants, but it does seem to indicate that masks don't do much good. So what does do good is, unfortunately, is the mass exposure to this virus, which I think ultimately weakens it, although there's arguments against that too. But anyway, the Wall Street Journal, I love it, has a whole story about how the economy is declining and no mention of what could be causing it.
Here we go again talking about the doctors.
Yeah, the doctors.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, people
should. Income inequality, it's because of the doctor.
You should question.
That's about as true as anything else.
Question authority. You should always question authority, whether it's doctors or real estate agents. And if you want to question this authority, it's 203-661-5051. But yeah, you keep an open mind. And just once, if you're an NPR listener, for instance, tune in during the middle of the day. When does the Dennis Prager show start? Was that 1 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock
on this station.
Yes. On this station. Yep. Listen to it. Expose yourself. Expose yourself. You're supposed to make a rude remark at that point. Don't you dare do that. There might be children. Expose yourself to an alternative argument. If you can't take Mark Levin or Limbaugh, listen to Dennis Prager on WGCH. I mean, he's nationwide. This is a syndicated show,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So catch Prager's show and you get just at least hear the other side. I do. I listen to your side. I listen to CNN on my treadmill. I punish myself. It's something about watching. Only at the gym, exactly, because I'm sweating and angry at having to do these exercises, so I might as well get even angrier and watch CNN. And then sometimes I listen to NPR. Oh, God, that voice, those monotone, hello, this is WNPR. We'd like to talk to you today about the failure of the Trump administration. The Trump administration, blah, 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 blah. And today the Trump administration announced the elimination of all food subsidies for the poor. Okay, you know, that kind of stuff. As I say, if I can take it, if I can expose myself to the other side of the political spectrum, then you can too. So do yourself that favor today. Just listen for a few minutes to the other side, all right?
I've been watching Robin Mead lately.
Who? Robin who?
Robin Mead.
Who's
Headline
that?
News.
What?
CNN Headline
News. Oh, CNN, yeah?
Yeah. It's a very nice thing to watch.
Is he a lib or a conservative?
No, she.
She? Oh,
I knew where he was going.
Oh, is she attractive? Oh, I see. I mean, they're finally competing with Fox?
If they would if they would just put bathing suits on these women.
Oh, my stop. Goodness.
I mean, that's all you need.
Boy. Okay, now we've really got it.
Now you're really...
quickly. You know, by the way, we have to take a break. All right, I'm going to run across the street to Black Forest Bakery and get my coffee, and we'll be right back. Is that correct?
You can do that,
right, yes.
This is your Greenwich House.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly sunny and seasonable today with a high 65 to 70. Clear, cool tonight, 45. Sunny tomorrow, 70 to 75, and on Friday becoming cloudy with rain developing in the afternoon, mid-60s. Saturday, rain tapering to showers and ending clearing developing by late afternoon, 55 to 60. And mostly sunny, chilly, 60 on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackwoman on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I'm Dr. Paul Gooch. I'm an optometric physician at Southwest Vision in St. George, Utah. We have a practice where we do a lot of primary eye care, medical eye care. We know nutrition affects the health of the eyes. There are several diseases where nutrition plays a role that we've identified. So I do recommend Balance of Nature to my patients. It's almost a self-evident truth to me that if they eat a healthy diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables, they're going to give their bodies the rich source of biochemistry they need to have their best chance at being healthy.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code Laura.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
For 2 hours, every Thursday night at 6, listen in and even converse with the man in the know regarding all matters Greenwich. Listen to Sam Romeo's show, Greenwich Matters. Brought to you by Parsonage, where their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way. From the beach to the backcountry, education, recreation, or politics, learn all about it on Greenwich Matters every Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. on 1490 WGCH.
A house I live in, a plot of earth, a street that's a mess.
And we are back. Yes, I was able to do, in that time, I was able to race across the street to the great Black Forest Bakery on Lewis Street here in Greenwich and have a coffee and and the famous apple pocket.
Well, isn't that nice? Isn't you can't eat in the studio.
By the way, I meant to lead in with a tribute to the Isley Brothers. We'll do that next week. The Isley Brothers, what a career these guys have had. I mean, are any of them still alive? They must be. Or maybe they're not all still alive. Have to look up the Isley Brothers, but you know they inspired. They certainly were inspirational for the Beatles, who covered their everybody covered their songs, including that song "Shout." "Shout" was an Isley Brothers song, as far as I know. I better look that up. And then, of course, Otis Night and the Days, or whatever, did it famously.
Otis Day and the Nights.
On that, is that the name?
Something like that. I believe that was it.
That was famously done on Caddyshack, Animal House.
Yeah, may we dance with your dates?
I was in college when Comedy Animal House came out, and I remember thinking, I just found it crude and disgusting. Nowadays, being a more mature adult,
I never did.
I find it like to be a better movie. But
Faber College.
Yes.
Scientia
double,
est
triple
bonus.
Probate. Double secret.
Can you tell me what
probate.
That means? Scientia est bonus. Knowledge is good.
Is that right? Oh, that's nothing wrong with that. It's a good slogan.
Serbis sumis libris.
Listen to this Wall Street Journal article, because the Wall Street Journal isn't always worthless. It sometimes gets it right. Renters flock to suburbia, upending decade-long urbanization trend. Isn't that fascinating? You talk about, you know, that expression comes from a book, which I haven't read, The Black Swan.
Yeah, I read it.
You did?
Yes.
And it had to deal with the unexpected events, unpredicted events that occur and upend the economy or the business world or something like that. So has there ever been a bigger black swan than COVID-19, I ask you? Because
the urbanization trend, yeah.
And there was an existing trend towards work at home, right? It was an existing trend. It was bubbling along. It was nothing really major. And then COVID came. And that's how they put it. They said, new suburban tenants say the shift to a work-at-home model removed a long-standing barrier to living in these neighborhoods. And this is countrywide. This is not just Connecticut. And we must emphasize again, Connecticut, Hartford, you're not doing anything right. You're still scaring people away. You're punishing businesses. You're preventing businesses from starting. We have had the worst economy in the country. We have lost the most people per year in the country. Nothing you've done has caused this surge of people moving to Connecticut.
So absolutely not.
Now is a good chance to actually fix the Connecticut economy. There will be more revenue. Isn't that exciting? You can waste some more revenue on boondoggle projects like train lines from, what was it, from Naugatuck to Hartford or something. High-speed rail lines. Oh, brother.
Well, there was a big thing linking Springfield to Hartford. Springfield,
that would, that might make sense, right? Does
yeah,
that make
I mean,
sense?
It makes
is there,
some
is there a demand? I don't know.
I don't know. A lot of politicians were down on that one.
Well, good. They should. You mean down as in supporting?
No.
Oh, good.
We're opposed to it.
Because the politicians should not. This sounds incredible. You guys are going to sound heretical to a liberal. Politicians should not be making transportation decisions. They should be aiding the private market when the economy and people moving, voting with their cars and their feet indicate where they want to work, where they want to go. Then the politicians should follow by widening roads or adding a train line here or there. Fine. Right, Bob Small?
Well, I don't know where that's ever been. If that ever happens in Connecticut, I'll eat my hat.
Yeah, exactly. And Bob doesn't have that many hats to wear.
Well, I think what these businesses have finally figured out is what the waste of commutation. I mean, if it still takes you, besides an express train.
Say an hour a day. Hour a day.
If it takes an hour in and an hour out.
It's horrible.
It's 2 hours. You could be at home.
And that's
you could
just,
be talking to your managers. You could be doing all kinds of things.
Yeah, no, it's
collaborating with teams.
This is why.
And, you know, if you say you got a job up in Fairfield and you live down here, how long does it take you to get to Fairfield prime time? It takes you an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, we all looked at the future as cars started to populate our area and we saw highways getting built. We were afraid the whole thing was going to become one big highway. And interestingly enough, that's not happened. What's happening is the use of a car is beginning to die away.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Again, how predictable was that? What central planning authority could ever have imagined that? They can't. That's the whole point. That's why you don't want to have centralized planning for society. It doesn't work. They're wrong every time.
Well, the Democrat Party is racing towards centralization, verticality.
It's not just the party. I have my fellow citizens seem to just, they crave authority. They crave being told what to do by an expert. They love that kind of thing. And that's the sort of thing that a healthy, normal human being should resent and resist in every way possible. Do not give in to being told how to live your life. You know, live your own life. Don't look to Washington for your answers every time.
I want to amend my last statement.
Go ahead.
Okay. The use of a car is not dying away.
What's it doing?
I don't know what I was thinking.
No,
more people use their cars all the time. Yeah, but self-driving is coming. I think
self-driving is coming.
Picturing.
What about Uber?
And then you can
Uber
sit
and
in the
Lyft.
Back.
Uber and Lyft are
well, they're all.
This
right.
is true. Those are helping a little anyway.
They're helping.
Well,
but,
and Bob,
but
you're
people
right.
still want that individual. I want to go from here, point A to point B, and I don't have to. I don't want to make extra stops at the.
Exactly.
Well, now you can jump on the back seat of your self-driving car with a laptop.
A car represents freedom and independence, which is, by the way, why it's so hard to take the car away from your 95-year-old mom or dad.
Oh, yeah.
Right? When you lose that freedom and independence, that is a major, major blow. And likewise, Bob, you're right. Come to think of it, one of the many unexpected, unpredicted beneficiaries of COVID, along that long list of things like swimming pool companies, real estate companies, what else has done really, really well? Home theater things. But one of the major benefitters has been the car dealers. Benefiters, yeah. Beneficiaries.
Beneficiaries.
Been car dealerships. Car dealerships started to notice this boom quickly as early April. And it hasn't stopped.
Interesting.
Car sales are way up. Used car sales.
These were the people
up.
That were using public transportation to go to work and now are not going to work. They just go downstairs and work.
And if they're working at home, now they have an excuse to have a car. Before, they lived in the city.
Yep.
They walked to work. They took the subway to work, whatever. And now they have an excuse, a need for a car.
Mm. Well, employers are dictating that if you're going to work from home, you do have to shower up and suit up. You got to shave.
Well, if you're going to appear on screen.
And sit at a desk in a self-appointed room. Has to be a separate room just to make things official.
Well, it also helps your mental state to actually have a kind of a uniform to put on and a place to go to so that you feel like you're, okay, now I'm going to go do work.
Yeah, as I'm going into that room over there. I'm not sitting in bed in the bathroom,
Can go to that room and get into a different bed, but you're still going to that room.
Same house, different bed.
Yeah.
Another beneficiary of COVID was Airbnb. Airbnb first saw this disaster looming where all of their city apartments, nobody wanted them. And suddenly revenue was dropping and Airbnb, I think they were going to postpone. They did postpone their IPO. And then the suburban rental trend started to come to their rescue. And that's why Airbnb is now valued at, I don't know how many billion. They haven't floated out this IPO yet.
They get some things to fine tune yet because
absolutely. I agree.
Travel, wanted to go for short trips, can't do it effectively or properly because they're supposed to be quarantining for 14 days. Oh, you can't do a short trip with a 14-day quarantine.
No,
it's terrible.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. However, they benefit. What were you going to say, Wilco?
I was going to say, you love Dolphin Cove, so do I.
I like it as a study. Yeah, sure.
This was 0 days in the market. It was a non-market deal with a broker or two in it. In this case, Emil Denieri.
Oh, Denieri. Wait.
Who lives there.
Is this a reporting purposes only, as we call it?
Yeah, but he was the broker.
I know, but that usually reporting purposes. By the way, you guys, that's a designation that we brokers use, or at least the Board of Realtors uses, to indicate something that has sold off-market.
For $3,350,000, that's pretty
damn
good.
That's and by the way, I don't think Dolphin Cove's ever cracked the $4 million, but I think it's about to. I think there's one
down on the end.
McElreath has one that's going to close soon. I think
it's on the
crack
end of the point.
$4 million.
Now that will be
one Dolphin Cove.
I want to see that. I want to see that.
These things sold for $90,000 back when my brother John was helping build. Was helping John. Who was the builder over there? John.
Well, there were a few people.
It was
people.
Nancy Brinkstone's
Barry Montgomery.
Father.
Was part of that.
Barrett.
His father. G. Barrett Montgomery.
No, but there was a specific builder named John.
I don't know who the builder was. But Montgomery and a partner.
New Mexico. What was that guy's?
He'll text you immediately.
Yeah, he will.
But guess what the taxes were on that?
Wait, so it's Stanford. And what's the selling price? I'll tell you what the taxes
are. $3,350,000.
$3,350,000. So in Greenwich, the taxes would be, in the 20s, maybe $30,000 a month. I'll say $30,000 a year. So I will say for Dolphin Cove, twice that, $60,000.
Well, 47.
Oh, that's not that bad.
581. Well, you want to shell that out?
No.
Semi-annually?
No.
I mean, that's a big check.
It's not semi. Well, I see what you mean. Yeah,
six.
They split it up. Yeah.
Remember July 1st being the beginning of the tax calendar year.
Simmons. John Simmons.
Simmons.
He was a great builder, and I sold his house eventually, the one he had on Lockwood Avenue in Old Greenwich. Thank you, listener from New Mexico.
Look at that. I'm surprised Chris didn't get you with that one.
I know. What's the matter with
him? He knows it.
$47,000 plus a month is almost,
a year.
That's about $4,000 a month in real estate taxes. So, yeah, you're right. That's pretty punishing. That's a lot.
I'm not sure this one was a waterfront.
Oh, of course
it
was. What's the street? Dolphin Cove Quay?
Everybody has rights to a dock,
yeah.
But it floats a little bit. You don't get a specific section.
Oh.
an assigned, you know, linear area.
That was a confusing remark. Something about a dock and floating. And I'm like,
sorry.
What's he getting at here?
Well, it's like floaters in a, in a garage situation.
So,
in a co-op or condo.
The buyers of my mother's house. In,
yes.
Let's see. What year was that? That was 2017, 16. Anyway, they bought Leatrice Fountain's house for $1,735,000 and then built their dream house, a very, very ultra-modern, not... the exterior was sort of semi-colonial, maybe, kind of, but it, basically a radically modern house inside.
When's that name coming back?
What's that?
Leatrice. That's kind of nice.
Well, my great-grandmother invented it.
And then
apparently.
It's Leah.
Yeah.
I like shortened that. To Leah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
something like that.
They built this house, and they put it on for the what I thought at the time was an unfortunate asking price of like $4,495,000.
Whoa.
But listed with Ellen Mosier.
Where's that?
Of Houlihan Lawrence. That's at the end of William Street. There's three William Streets in the town of Greenwich. This is a little dead end.
There's one up here.
This is on the what we'd call the eastern side of town. It's waterfront, or it's a tidal waterfront. It's on this tidal creek.
I know this one. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. This is the one. This was built just a few years. Yeah, it was built in 2008.
It's just
this is a resale.
Up the creek from the Wilcox estate,
yeah.
To be actually honest. So it sells for it, no, it was not a resale. So it sells for $4,425,000, which is an astounding price, and is blew apart the William Street record. The record price on William Street prior to that had been maybe, I don't know, 1.5 or something, or maybe 1.6. Unbelievable! Did I tell you to set that to stun? Look at the guy.
It would not.
What even? What noise is that? I mean, God, the guy can't.
But
help
both
himself.
Of us have the same ringer, though.
What ringer? That wasn't even a ringer. What's going on now, you guys? As usual,
Wilcox's
phone is making strange, annoying noises. All right.
I'm sorry.
So it blew apart the record price for the street, for William Street. I mean, really, an amazing sale. But the truth is that those people had wanted to move into that and could not because they couldn't get their house sold on Old Clubhouse Road, which is a little bit down the creek. Similar, same
down the creek on the other side.
Yeah, on the other side, exactly.
In Shorelands.
So they listed their house down there for I think they had it on for four. Oh, way too much. I know. That's why it didn't sell. Why am I surprised? They listed it for $4,695,000. Reduced. Didn't sell. Finally got it down to $3,995,000. Still didn't sell. Then it expired. Then they gave it to a different broker in the same office of Houlihan Lawrence, and it came on a few days ago for $3,950,000, and boom, absolutely instantly goes to contract. So it shows you
what's going on.
What an improved market we have, because no one wanted that thing at $3,995,000 in 20 as recently as June 2018, no one wanted it. And likewise for that listing of mine, no one wanted it. I'll just say for argument's sake, because I don't want to identify it too clearly, let's say it was $2 million. We had it on for $2,995,000. And no one, I mean, we had 40, 50 showings, not an offer, which means that we were well overpriced, clearly, right?
Yeah.
Well overpriced, at least. So in other words, even $2,700 was probably too high. Well, guess what it's going for? Now, as of today, this morning, we got an accepted offer. Over the asking price. Yeah.
Holy
so
cow.
That's interesting.
That shows.
That's a COVID bump, right?
Want to put something on the market, do it now.
Yep.
This may not, you know, this type of buying frenzy may not come back around for that, 2 years.
Exactly right, John. Exactly right.
Two, 3 years.
The market, if you, you know, what's that? I hate to misquote Shakespeare, but something about, you know, if you take the flooding at the full tide.
Take your thumb
take
out
your
of the dike.
No, take your something. Maybe New Mexico can supply the quote. You know, the idea is if things are going well, jump on your opportunity. Take it now. Don't wait. So you have that right now in real estate. But you only have really, I mean, John and I could be wrong. Maybe this market's going to zoom right through Christmas and never take a break. Right into the so-called spring market, which really typically begins in mid-January. The spring market, mind you. Yes, I know your property doesn't look as good, therefore you shouldn't be putting it on. Well, no, that's not true. That's never been true. But in any case, I would guess that if you're going to sell, if you need to sell, do it now in the next 30 days.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Don't wait till next year.
So have you listed what we were looking at the other day? Secret listing?
Oh, that one.
Have we come to terms with value?
I'll tell you why. We haven't come to terms with value. This is a...
That's because I've got to do my report and get it over to you.
This is what I would call
a... So you can rebrand it.
By the way, I just cited the station owner has slipped by with his paisley mask on. Very, very dapper. The fellow looks dapper in a mask, which most people can't pull off.
Was that a mask or a shawl?
Talking about Rocco Fort. Rocco's not in the shawl stage of his life yet, I don't think. Anyway.
Looking like Hetty Green.
Wilcox, among others. Oh, here he comes. He doesn't like Dennis Prager. So.
It's not a money producer.
I had Wilcox along for a pricing, along with the manager of Houlihan, David Haffenreffer, and others. And this is a pretty major waterfront piece. I won't say where, will we? No, we won't say where. Anyway, what we're really being held up by is, not held up, but we're waiting on the completion of the site work by DeAndrea.
Plot plan and survey.
DeAndrea Surveying.
Because coverage is key.
You've got to know what you're going to do. You're
going to have grandfathered coverage, tennis courts, flagstone, patios, the whole thing.
You want to see... This is what coverage, you guys, is what you, how much of the land you can cover with anything from, as you say, a tennis court, a swimming pool, a driveway. There are rules. Greenwich has rules on these things. You can't completely pave your property or completely cover it with building.
There's got to be green area.
There's also FAR, floor area ratio. Anyway, this one has tremendous FAR, exceeding 8,000 square feet. So these days... And by the way, remember that idea, people aren't building big houses anymore. Yeah, no, they are.
On the water,
they are. I assure you they are. Definitely on the water.
Yes, yeah. So on the water, they'll definitely do it. How long will it take to get a dock? That's the question. Well, Army Corps of Engineers, application to the state, DEEP.
Yep. No, it's a good question.
It's 2-3 years.
Oh, it's not that long. My brother John got
Tom Hegney can get you those things.
My brother John got a dock on my mother's property at the end of William Street, speaking of which.
How long did it take?
I think about 6 months start to finish.
That's good. Well, they've sped the process up.
Yeah. Well, they can. It depends on things. It depends on what your situation is now.
Depends how much money you want to give
your property attorney. The unnamed property that you and I went to price the other day has docks all around it. You know, this neighbor over here has a dock. Two neighbors down has a dock. Dock, dock, dock. Everywhere you look. What's up, dock? So probably that can be used in your favor.
When dock, dock, Drake.
Apply. Precisely.
Okay.
That's my search engine, dock, dock, go.
Was this?
Oh, wait.
Comp over in Riverside on Fort Pilot Rock Lane. What was the condition of this house? It went for $6.4 million. Actually, it was in good condition.
Is that Rob Johnson's?
Yes, Rob Johnson.
It was completely renovated.
2015, built in 1956.
Rob was smart. The sellers forced Rob to
one acre
in the sevens, right? And it has a little sliver of waterfront that goes all the way down. There's a big wide property, and then it tapers down. You know how they do that? If they're subdividing a property, they make sure everybody gets a little water access.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a path, literally, 15 feet or less wide to the water. But the properties all remains open, so you can't see how narrow your access is. You don't have to see it. What you just see is vast open space. So it had that advantage. Great big lawns. This is at the tip of, pretty much near the tip of Indian Head Road, you guys, in Riverside. It's dramatic waterfront. It overlooks Todd's Point, and actually it's high enough to look over Todd's Point to Long Island. So very, very nice. But anyway, they stuck Rob with a bad price in the sevens. He had a bunch of us over there. Rob is smart. He brings in his competitors to help him price. That way, he kind of short-circuits the idea. If they're saying to themselves, let's say the seller's saying, Rob's not really doing the job for us. We better get some other broker. So he short-circuits that. He sidesteps that by bringing in the competitors and saying, what do you guys think? And that way, he can say, okay, don't bother going to another broker. They all agree with me. Clever move. He's not the only one, by the way. Obviously, Gideon Fountain uses the technique, too. Don't be silly. And you know another one who does that? Ann Simpson.
Well, you should.
Sure. Bring in your competitors.
This is a very collegial body of people.
It can be, and it should be.
The brokers and salespeople. One of the positive aspects of residential real estate brokerage, no matter where you go in the country, generally speaking, with the exception of a few bad apples, people get along.
From
and those bad apples. Where do we put them?
You know what? There's a bad apple in this business. I got to tell you this story. This is good. We have time. We have 5 minutes.
Yeah. Sure, you got all the time in the world.
From Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, the quote from this, all the way from New Mexico. There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and miseries. On such a full sea we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves, or lose our ventures. That, all of that.
That's what you were trying to think
of? Yes. I know. Why couldn't I think of that?
Why couldn't you think of that? How about just A2 Brute?
All of that is what Julius Caesar was trying to say. What he was trying to say at the time was, if it's a good market, put your house on it. Sell it.
We all should be so intelligent to know that by just hearing there's a tide.
Yes, I know. You know.
But no.
See what it triggered?
A tide in the affairs of men.
I'm thinking of
taken at the flood. You guys, we're in a flood right now. We're in a financial flood. So take it. If you take it at the tide, at the flood, it will lead to fortune. Omitted. I love this. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries.
Do you remember 11 Cove Road?
By the way, that was sold it.
I know. The dirt was $3.5 million.
Yeah, well, they overpaid.
Now, on
for the
other side was $4 million.
That builder lost money. Yeah.
And then we had Thurlow at somebody at $4.5 million.
And Barbieri just sold one of the fours next door. My guy paid almost $7 million, right? $6.9 million something?
Yeah. And it started out at $11,750,000. I think perhaps they should have consulted with a few people.
You know what? Actually, come to think of it, I'm embarrassed to say that among many brokers consulted for that price was me and Steve Arcino. And what happened was we were brought in along with, I think, literally 15 brokers, something like that. And
in the beginning.
At the time, at that time, the market was zooming, and we said, yeah, you know, you could try for 11, something like that. And instead, what did he put it on for? What was the first price?
$11,750.
So he added $750, which can be very, very damaging, just one more quarter, three quarters of a million. It can be damaging. It's amazing how price sensitive real estate is. People don't realize it. They just think, we'll just ask whatever we want. People will make an offer. No, they don't. They will not make an offer in many cases.
So that $9.99 pricing really works.
Yeah,
instead of $10.
It does. There's something so repeatable, so predictable about all of us humans, and we like $9.99 better than $10,000. I don't know why. By the way, we're going to run short on time. Next week, I promise to tell you the story of a very sneaky broker. Oh, my gosh. This one is – you won't believe this story. This is incredible. And did nothing illegal, but he scooped away. I wasn't going to identify the gender. Scooped away another broker's customer, and
between 40 and 50.
40 and 50, what?
Years of age.
I don't. Yes.
Walks with a limp.
No, walks with a. What are you talking? That's me. I walk with a limp. All right, look, you guys, we are running out of time, but next week we'll tell the story without naming names of the victim
talking,
and the victimizer, the broker who sneaked away a big customer.
Of yours?
From another broker. No. Although, wait, he did that to me once. I mean, this broker did that to me
boy.
Once. Stop identifying the gender.
We'll keep giving the hints until the audience
until we figure it all out.
Call in with your guess.
You know what? You blame the client. If your client is so disloyal to you that they can be scooped away, then I frankly don't blame the sneaky broker, the one who sneaks them away.
But
it's your fault. If you have not engendered loyalty in that client, you have exposed yourself to that risk.
You know, they say that about alcohol. Don't blame the alcohol. Blame the operator.
That's our theme song. Oh, my clients, the Lowthers, have a very funny thing on their water cooler, a little bumper sticker, a little sticker. Two women standing at a bar, and one says, you know, in defense of alcohol, I've done a hell of a lot of dumb blank. totally sober. So.
Okay, totally sober.
Anyway, you guys, thank you for listening to the show. I really do appreciate it, and so does Wilcox. And even Bob Small cares. So here it is. We'll be back next week, 10 o'clock every Wednesday. See you then.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett is facing another round of questions from members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senate Republicans' goal is to get Barrett confirmed before the presidential election.
As a matter of law, the Supreme Court may have the final word, but the Supreme Court lacks control over what happens after that. The Supreme Court and any federal court has no power, no force, and no will, so it relies on the other branches to react to its judgments accordingly.
President Trump is scheduled to speak at a rally in Iowa at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Vice President Mike Pence will be campaigning in Michigan this afternoon, and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden doesn't have any public appearances scheduled. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I've been taking vitamins off and on my whole adult life, and I've never seen any change. Not like this, not since I've been on Balance of Nature. I used to take prescription medication for muscle aches and stuff. I don't take that anymore. I wish I had started it back when I first heard about it on the radio. And if I can give Balance of Nature any advice, keep it out on the radio, because I still hear these commercials from time to time, and I'm thinking, you know, you people need to listen up. I mean, I'm over 50. And, you know, your body starts wearing down. But Balance of Nature has literally changed my life. It really has.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use